Behold. Behold. The news broke across the Judean countryside. Behold. Behold. The words that thousands of people were waiting to hear for a really long time. Behold. Behold. At the sound of these words, the world would never be the same again. For literally, the faint prophecy of Isaiah almost grew to a silence. Some actually did forget. Some knew it and didn't believe it. Some were still greatly anticipating. Behold! Behold! An angel of the Lord stood before the three very common, ordinary people and made the proclamation of all proclamations this side of eternity. Do not be afraid, for see, I am bringing you good news of great joy for all the people. This will be the sign for you. You will find a child wrapped in bands of cloth and lying in a manger. This announcement never gets old for me. Year after year, this proclamation to the shepherds is new, and I always find newness in it. Christmas comes and Christmas goes year after year with routines, with traditions, and everything else. There's always an excitement in the air. There's always a wonder and amazement on little children's faces as they await what's coming that big day. We're 6 days past Christmas. Are you glad it's over? Are you thinking to yourself, I've survived? Maybe this Christmas season has been an especially difficult one. 6 days past Christmas. Have you noticed anything new? Here are some of my observations of the post-Christmas season. You may find yourself in a long line at the store as other people are making gift returns as well. New toys to play with around the house for young and old alike. Less stress as the big day has come and gone. Forward thinking to the new year and the resolutions yet to make. Trash cans filled with wrapping paper, boxes, and other holiday trash to be disposed of. Leftovers fill the refrigerator as stomachs have been on full. There is more and more that could be added to this list. What things look like, especially maybe for you and your family, as we grow farther and farther away from Christmas Day. But as we add this Christmas to all the other Christmases in our memory book, I'm hoping that this one stood out to you, or at least after today, you can say this Christmas will be one for the record books. Even though Christmas has come and gone, hopefully we can see Christmas through a new lens. We all need to be challenged to think about Christmas in a different way. Maybe a way that you've never thought about before. And all it starts with is this announcement from the angel to the shepherds. To you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is the Messiah. with the advent or coming of Jesus the Christ, God incarnate, everything changes here on earth. I think because we're so far removed from this act of God in the world, we sometimes forget the significance and the grandeur of God becoming flesh. God chooses to move in our direction. God chooses to provide his creation, the greatest Christmas gift, the form of a baby. Here's where we're going today. When Jesus was birthed into this world, things changed. The evil that was reigning in this world was sent a very strong message that your time has come. It is beginning, it's the beginning of the end for the evil one. With Jesus' birth into the world, this is God's bold statement that I am here, I have come, and I will be forever and ever. With the birth of Jesus, God is telling his creation, I will make all things new. The coming of Jesus, the advent of Jesus, it's God making all things new on earth as it is in heaven. Many of you know that one of my favorite authors is C.S. Lewis. C.S. Lewis is the master of allegory. An allegory is the expression by means of symbolic fictional figures and actions of truths or generalizations about human existence. And in his last book of the series of the Chronicles of Narnia, entitled The Last Battle, this is just a brief, Lucy observes to Sir Thomas that the garden that they're in also looks like Narnia. And then Lucy realizes that the garden is also Narnia, and that the Narnians will continue on forever, each more beautiful than the last. There's an incredible more sense of detail and things that I'm leaving out. If you want to read it, The Last Battle is one of the greatest, probably, books of the Chronicles of Narnia series. There's a lot there that the story that's not being filled in. But this is a short description for us that Lewis is drawing from Scripture, that God is in the business of making things new, making all creation new. And we see that in the allegory that he uses in The Last Battle. When they're moving, chapter 14 is called Darkness Falls on Narnia. And it's that old Narnia fading away and they come into the new Narnia. But it's a depiction, a picture for us this morning. I've compiled for us this morning some passages of Scripture where God shared with us about his plan for making all things new. Ephesians 2, 14 through 15. For he is our peace. In his flesh he has made both groups into one, has broken down the dividing wall that is the hostility between us. He has abolished the law with his commandments and his ordinances, that he might create in himself one new humanity in place of the two, thus making peace. 2 Corinthians 5:17. So if anyone is in Christ, there is a new creation. Everything old passes away. See, everything has become new. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself. The third one, Revelation 21, 3 to 5. And I heard a loud voice from the throne room saying, "See, the home of God is among mortals. He will dwell with them as their God. They will be his peoples, and God himself will be with them. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. Death will be no more. Mourning and crying and pain will be no more, for the first things have passed away." And the one who is seated on the throne said, "See, I am making all things new." The point is that ever since the fall in Genesis, God has been trying to reconcile his creation back to himself, and he made a way to do just that through Jesus the Christ. As we think this morning about these verses, we cannot help but be drawn to the newness that they proclaim. You see, God became grieved about the human condition. God loved his creation. God loved that perfect relationship that he had with Adam and Eve and his creation. God longed to have that back. It's not that he needed it back, but God longed for it. He loves us. I firmly believe that God deeply desires to reconcile his creation, to reconcile, restore us. I believe that process is already in motion. I believe that with the advent of Jesus Christ, God began creating the world anew, one person at a time. Each of us has the opportunity to participate by God's invitation through his Son to be co-agents of change in the world. I firmly believe that part of our calling as Christians is to respond to God's Christmas invitation, to allow him to use us through his Son and his Spirit dwelling within us to make all things new. Yes, God wants to use us. We participate in that. I share with you this morning, again, 6 days after Christmas, the advent of Jesus, the coming of Jesus the Christ initiated a season of making all things new. Every Christmas, we come to a place of remembering God's greatest gift and what God means for us. And hear, church, hear this again from 2 Corinthians. If anyone is in Christ, there is new creation. If anyone is in Christ, there is new creation. If you have Jesus on the throne of your heart, you are a new creation. The old has passed away. I'm also a student of Oswald Chambers. I read him and hear these words from him. Hope and grace from yesterday. God requires an account of what is past. At the end of the year, return to eagerness to all that God has for the future. And yet anxiety is apt to arise when we remember our yesterdays. Our present enjoyment of God's grace tends to be lessened by the memory of yesterday's sins and burdens. But God is the God of our yesterdays. He allows the memory of them to turn the past into a ministry of spiritual growth for our future. God reminds us of the past to protect us from the very shallow security in the present. Hope and grace for tomorrow. The Lord will go before you. This is a gracious revelation that God sends his forces out where we have failed to do so. He will keep watch so that we will not be tripped up again by the same failures as would undoubtedly happen if he were not our rear guard. And God's hand reaches back to the past, settling all claims against our consciousness. Hope and grace for today. You shall not go without haste. As we go forth in the coming year, let it not be in the haste of impetus, forgetful delight, nor with the quickness of impulsive thoughtlessness, but let us go with the patient power, knowing that God, the God of Israel, will go before us. Our yesterdays hold broken and irreversible things for us. It is true that we have lost opportunities that will never return, but God can transform this destructive anxiety into a constructive thoughtfulness for the future. Let the past rest, but let it rest in the sweet embrace of Christ. Leave the broken, irreversible past in his hands and step out into the invincible future with him. Let the past rest in the sweet embrace of Christ. Leave the broken, irreversible past in the hands. Step out into the invincible future with him. Again, words by Oswald Chambers. God is the God of yesterday, today, and tomorrow. God knows our past, our present, our future. If Christ is on the throne of your heart, if God's Spirit dwells within you, you are a new creation. We do not need to get bogged down by our past sins and mistakes. Please allow God to make you new. The coming of Jesus was to restore creation, to restore us, to make us new. Since the very first Christmas, there has been this season of all things new. And sometimes it doesn't seem like it. Sometimes things aren't peaches and cream. Sometimes things are really bad. Things happen. Let us remember that we're not living in the age of Christ's second coming. Evil still lurks. Evil still hunts like a hungry lion. We live in a perverted world that still God is actively making new, which means bad things are still going to happen. Life is still going to happen. But God is present. But in the spirit of being made new, you're a new creation. It's how you respond to these things that are bad. See, the evil one wants us to be caught. The evil one wants us to think we're no good. The evil one wants us to be suppressed. And on and on and on. Wants to keep us in a cloud of darkness. We need to remember that God's bigger than our yesterdays. God's bigger than the evil in this world. And we're able to look ahead. We know the story. We know God wins out. We know the resurrection. Emmanuel, God is with us. Emmanuel, God is with us. So today, here, as we leave another Christmas season, are you in tune to what God is doing and making and how he's making things new? Do you have an awareness that he wants to use you in the furthering of his kingdom, which in essence is you participating and making all things new through God within you? Or do you focus on the past, on the broken and irreversible things, on regrets, on things that you should have done? They're there in the past, forever gone. There's nothing you can do to change it. There's one thing you can do to change it. You can go to God. Have you struggled this Christmas season in some way? There's a lot of different ways I could list off and list off and list off. To you is born this day the city of David, a Savior who is the Messiah, Emmanuel. God is with us. And I say it again, Emmanuel. This December 31st, 2017, God is with us. Allow God to reach into your past and redeem it. Allow God to live into your present and be your source of strength. Allow God to go into your future as he makes you a new creation, as you rest in the sweet embrace of his Son, Jesus, the Christ. Amen. Let us pray. Gracious, loving God, we thank you and we praise you for this day. Lord God, we thank you for sending your Son. We thank you for reminding us about the Christmas season and re-reminding us about the Christmas season that with the birth of your Son into this world, it's a very clear message. You long for us, you love us, Lord God. You want to restore and make all things new, even your broken people, your broken creation, Lord God. Thank you. Thank you for reaching into our past. Thank you for being bigger than anything in our lives, being bigger than anything in this world, Lord God. You are an awesome God. You are a holy God, Lord God. We thank you. We praise you for the work that you've done and you continue to do. We pray that you continue to heal us, continue to give us strength and peace and grace and hope and forgiveness. You're an awesome God. Lord God, I thank you and I praise you for each and every person in this room, this sanctuary. Thank you for this church family, Lord God. May it be so among us. May we leave this place knowing your heart and wanting to be fully ours, wanting to make us new, that you may use us to help restore, to help reconcile. We love you. We praise you, Lord God. Help us to remember on this Sunday, this Sabbath day, to rest. Help us to remember that silence is not so bad. You're a great God. Love you, we praise you, we pray all these things. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Thank you so much for being here today. And if we do not see you, Happy New Year.